Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey guys, Matt Donald here. Just letting you know once again, as I always do, that I now, as in always, forever and always, have a Patreon! Yay! At patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you'll find bonus content for both the Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals, and this month we're talking about Camp Cretaceous, the Netflix hit show in the Jurassic World canon. The reason why I'm not saying Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous is I'm trying to hide the fact that we've covered so many different things in the Jurassic Park / World franchise. Look, guys, it's the one big dinosaur franchise out there. If you want there to be two big dinosaur franchises, buy my book, Megazoic, on Amazon.com. Anyways, link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a lovely day! Also, this week, we at Paleobites have a special announcement. Cross-promotion! You should go check out the podcast I Know Dino from fellow Paleo fans Garrett and Sabrina. This is currently the world's biggest dinosaur podcast, so that's pretty cool. Every episode, they cover the latest scientific discoveries, fun facts about dinosaurs, and a deep dive into a specific dinosaur. Way more deep of a dive than we do here at Paleobites, but different shows for different folks. But it's really good stuff. It's so informative. Like, a new dinosaur is discovered and named pretty much every week, and I Know Dino is the only podcast which covers every new dinosaur discovery. Every new one. That's crazy. How do they do it? But they're so good at it. They're a really fun and informative show. Very science-based. They promote critical thinking when new claims are presented about dinosaurs, like what did Spinosaurus use its tail for? Were T-Rex's arms really useless? Did Dilophosaurus spit venom? It didn't. They know that studying dinosaurs teaches us about many other scientific fields, like how our mammal ancestors rose to prominence following a mass extinction just like dinosaurs, migration patterns of dinosaur lineages, and every episode it ends with a fun fact. For example, dinosaurs continuously grow replacement teeth, which is pretty cool. I'd sure like that ability. No, I don't. I'm not nearly physically active enough for that to be an issue. Still be cool, though. Dinosaur claws, horns, and plates were likely covered in keratin, making them much larger than the skeletal mounts make them appear. So imagine a stegosaurus with, it already has big plates. How about even bigger plates? Like, so big! They could fly with those things if they flapped them. No, they couldn't. Yeah, it's good stuff. So check out the I Know Dino podcast. Go to iknowdino.com to find their main website. They've got well over 300 episodes. But yeah, they're really great. Thank you so much, I Know Dino, for this opportunity. Go check them out. They're much more educated than I am.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that belongs in a museum. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I am a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by the acclaimed writer of Sherlock Holmes and Oriarty's stories, Lawrence Mack. How are you? It's an honor to have you on this show. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm actually coming out with a new book. I figured I'd throw that in there.
Oh, nice, nice.
Oriarty's Revenge.
Oh, yes.
Volcano Rock, something.
Of course.
That.
Man, you look like a writer. You even have the body of George R. R. Martin. Oh, that was mean. I apologize.
Not at all. Thank you. I'm so honored. If only I could finish books like Martin.
So he'd not finish
books. Exactly.
I genuinely think, I've said this before on other podcasts, maybe The Right Way or some other stuff, I genuinely think that he wrote himself in a corner and he doesn't know how to get out of it. I think that's what's taking him so long.
Oh, really? I could believe that.
Yeah. Like, he's so intricate in all these different plot lines and all this stuff. He's trying to make sure it all fits together. And now he's like, oh, crap.
Right.
The way I wrote all this and all this intricacies, I am in such a dead end that, like, I cannot find a way to fit it all together, so I'm just gonna leave people hanging forever.
Right, it'd be like some sort of super corny ending that fits all of the plot lines he's done.
That's kind of like how the show ended, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, the show ending wasn't. It was his fault in the fact that he hasn't finished the story, but I mean, the actual ending of the show was not his fault. He didn't write it out.
What if it was? Maybe that's why he hasn't gotten out, because that's exactly how
he's now so embarrassed based on how
people reacted to it. Someone else took the blame for it, but
yeah, exactly. Ooh, that'd be tough, man, for the BD brothers, whatever they're called.
D&D,
yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, for those who take the fall, get kicked off of Star Wars and everything.
Yep.
It wasn't actually their fault.
They got a huge Netflix deal, though, so they're not doing too bad.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know. Several million?
Like, what are they doing?
Who knows?
Oh. Well, I mean, maybe a kid's show or something. That's about all they trust him with.
Game of Thrones for babies.
I thought Game of Thrones made babies.
Targaryen babies. Oh, yes, they did make them. Dragon babies.
Dragon babies. There we go.
Drogon found a Drogonette and had a bunch of babies.
Boom. Tons of eggs. They lit them on fire. They hatched. End of story.
They lit them on fire, and then they hatched.
Yeah. and
the Game of Thrones ending would be they hatched, and then they lit them on fire.
Is this Dragon Tales, Game of Thrones edition?
Yeah.
And so it's just all of Drogon's babies, and they go to school.
I wish to use this rhyme to go back home until next, something funny.
I was going to say, depending on tonight's results, it might just say next election.
if it's Game of Thrones, like, until next night, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're kids. I shouldn't say that. Anyways, we're talking about Dilophosaurus.
Oh, we're talking about a dinosaur?
Yeah. We are. I know this is a podcast about prehistoric animals. Would you believe it? That's why we're on. We're prehistoric
animals. That's why we're talking about George R. R. Martin.
Yeah. Dilophosaurus means two-crested lizard.
Okay, so doesn't two crests make a whole?
Yeah.
So it's whole-crested lizard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it's like, well, it had that one area in the middle where they combine, like the crest cleavage.
Okay, it's crest cleavage. Got it.
Yeah, anyway, Dilophosaurus theropod is what the type it is. It's a group that includes the awesome-sounding Dracovenator.
Dracovenator, that sounds badass.
It means dragon hunter.
Wow. I have a feeling that it's not big enough or scary enough to hunt dragons, but it's a cool name.
It's the villain of our dragon babies.
Oh, yeah, that's it, because it just goes after dragon babies.
Yeah.
Well, this, I think maybe I could get Sherlock Holmes to solve that.
What is this show we're coming up with? There's so much to it. There's too much. The elevator pitch would be longer than any elevator ride.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're going up the Burj Khalifa or
something. Yeah, something like that.
Anyways, size 19.8/23 feet/6 to 7 meters long. Or 660 to 880 pounds, or 300 to 400 kilograms. So way bigger than it was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds a lot bigger than it was in Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park, they shrunk it so hard.
Yeah, it could fit inside of a Jeep.
Yeah. Diet carnivore. Time, early Jurassic, 195 to 193 million years ago. So at least that's one thing I got it right. It was a Jurassic then,
okay.
It's in Jurassic Park, and it is a Jurassic dinosaur.
Right on.
Shares that with Brachiosaurus in that first movie.
Just the two of them?
I think it's just the two of them in that movie. In the first one, anyways.
Right, yeah.
Because later ones had Stegosaurus and Allosaurus and Apatosaurus. But anyways, location, Arizona.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
No wonder they died out. It's too hot.
Described in 1970, pop culture appearances, most famously Jurassic Park, which ruined its depiction forever by shrinking it greatly and adding a frill and poisonous spit, which it did not have. Also, Ark Survival Evolved, again. And Paraworld had it as a scout unit for one faction. Remember Paraworld?
I do remember Paraworld.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Dinosaur RTS. It's Dinotopia meets Warcraft.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
But both of these examples copied the Jurassic Park version, like every blasted depiction does. For a real example, watch the documentary When Dinosaurs Roamed America, where it's depicted as the giant yet lightning-fast and brutal badass it truly was, complete with the most awesome-sounding roar in all of dinosaur media. No joke. I have it here ready to play.
Oh, I'm excited. I hear this roar. It's got to be better than this weird hissing sound.
Yeah. Or it's like a little swan-like little cute noise it makes, too.
Oh, yeah, the little chirping. It's like, go fetch the stick.
No, how about this? Here we go.
We could put that in the puppy. Yeah, I'm running away.
There's a fight between two of them here.
And you said up to 19 feet tall?
19 feet long.
19 feet long.
But still, that's like bigger than a bear.
I'm going to go full SpongeBob meme. I'm going to head out. Goodbye. Gotta run away.
I love that roar. Like, the rest of that documentary, they just use, like, standard pig noises and lion noises and other stuff for animals. But they're excited for the Dilophosaurus. They're like, no, we're going to make something special here.
Right? Somebody made a good call. That was an awesome roar, for sure.
So, Dilophosaurus was the biggest dinosaur carnivore yet when it first evolved, being the first one to reach such a monstrous size. While dinosaurs got plenty big in the Triassic, with Plateosaurus in particular reaching up to 35 feet/10.5 meters long and 4 tons, none of the Triassic carnivores were anywhere close. The biggest one was probably Lilliansternus, which could maybe reach up to 17 feet/5.2 meters long if it was doing a lot of push-ups and ate a lot of protein shakes. And that's still quite smaller than even the smallest estimate of Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, wow.
So Dilophosaurus was a big boy.
No kidding.
And the fact it was the largest known land animal in North America at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really got to get that image. Jurassic Park really did them dirty.
It did them real dirty, man.
Like, was there less information out? Why did they depict them?
I actually have a reason why. I'm bringing it up at the end here.
Okay.
But until we get to it. So other than being big, Dilophosaurus had another gimmick. It's dual head crests that give it its name.
Ah.
They extended from the nasal to the lacrimal bones, and each had a little finger-like projection in the back. So it could double give someone the finger from the back, right?
Catch up to me now.
Like any unusual feature in any animal ever, their purpose has been widely disputed.
Yep.
They're too delicate to be used for any sort of combat, and they also appear to be on both males and females. Using them for sexual display, like deer antlers, seems unlikely too, or at least not in the same way.
Yeah, that's where they hit all that venomous oil.
Oh, yes, of course.
Uh-huh.
They still were probably used for some sort of display, perhaps species recognition, like certain modern-day birds. Or maybe some form of thermoregulation, like the sale of Dimetrodon.
Mm.
The last theory is unlikely, though, as there's no evidence of veins or any blood vessels flowing through the crest's bone structure. But that's not to say it's not there at all. Some fossils are better preserved than others.
Yeah, interesting.
In 2020, a new reconstruction of the dinosaur based on recently uncovered remains showed that the crests were more prominent than previously believed, to the point where they're kind of shaped like the dorsal fins of a shark.
Oh,
just
nice.
Two of them on the head there.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. While crested carnivorous dinosaurs were relatively common in the Triassic and early Jurassic, such as in Dilophosaurus, Monolophosaurus, and the aforementioned Lilian Sternus, these structures seem to disappear in later theropods, perhaps due to their feathers just providing enough display and rendering the crest function unnecessary.
Interesting. So these, the crest, besides display, did they have any sort of, like, nasal cavities, like Parasauloferus?
Parasauloferus. Parasaurolophus.
I apparently need a nap.
Parasinophanus. Parasnuffleophagus.
Paragliderophilus.
Paratrooperophilus. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's how it got its awesome roar like it did in this.
Right, I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like, I mean, it could have had a really badass roar like that if the crest has some sort of a sound function.
Has like an amplifier
well.
In it. Yeah. Some sort of metallic sort of thing, too, because that roar in that documentary was pretty metallic.
Right, exactly. Which it could have gone either way, because obviously it could have been great for like mating calls, which means it would have been.
Oh, can you imagine that as a mating call? Like,
right?
It's more like, come F me, please!
Turned me on, that's for sure.
Oh, man. Perhaps due to the brittle structure of the crest affecting the surrounding bones, or maybe due to theropods still being a young group at its time, Dilophosaurus had relatively weak jaws compared to other predatory dinosaurs, mainly using its claws to kill and maim its prey.
Interesting.
These jaws are actually why Michael Crichton gave it poison,
as
a way to explain how it could be such an apex predator despite its weak jaws. That was his little theory.
Interesting.
The movie version adds the extendable frill for extra shock value.
Yeah.
And also shrunk the creature to about 4 feet tall because they were concerned that if they had it at the real size, audiences would confuse it with the raptors.
Interesting.
Which is dumb because they're actually a lot bigger than the raptors.
Yeah.
And they like
maybe
they have the
raptors bigger anyway.
Yeah. But even with the bigger raptor sizes, this would be even bigger than that. So
right, yeah, exactly.
So
in the book, did Michael Crichton make it?
It was the proper size in the book.
It was the proper size in the book.
And the
okay.
death it gave Nedry was brutal. Oh my god! Ooh. Like, I vividly remember this one depiction. I'm gonna say it here because
I want to hear it. Go ahead.
So the venom was true. It blinded him.
Yeah.
And then he felt like a slash in his stomach, and he felt something in his hands, and he eventually realized that he was holding his own intestines.
Oh my god, that's gross.
And then the raptor just... I'm not the raptor, the Dilophosaurus. See, yeah. I confused it with the raptor. The Dilophosaurus just chewed on him. It was just... Oh, man, it was hardcore.
That's... Oh, yeah. Wow. That's gross. That's awesome, though.
They should have had that in the movie.
Right? Yeah, that would have been so much better than just the shaking of the Jeep after in his eyes sprayed.
Yeah, come on, Newman. You could handle more than that.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I love how everyone calls him Newman, even though that's not the character or the actor's name. It's just his character on Seinfeld's name.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, so while we can't completely rule out the poison, particularly if it was more akin to the bite of a Komodo dragon rather than something like it could spit like in the movie, the frill would have had evidence in the bones. In the shape of a rigid structure on the neck or markings of the place where the muscles would be used to extend it when it attacked.
Okay, so definitely no frill for sure.
Definitely no frill. Like I said, I really don't like the Jurassic Park version. As the real version was way cooler.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
It was bigger, faster, you know, more deadly. It was like...
Yeah, no kidding.
That was my
I understand,
professional
like,
impression of the creature, yeah.
Yeah.
The
thing in Jurassic Park could have been a thing. Like, it fits in with, sort of. Like, it's realistic enough that you think it could have been a dinosaur.
Yeah.
But why did they just...
Here, I would be willing to forgive them, though. If in the upcoming Jurassic World Dominion, there's a scene where, like, the Velociraptor or something sees the Dilophosaurus, the shrunken version,
uh-huh.
and it underestimates it again, tries to attack it, only to get attacked by a properly sized version to reveal the shrunken one was its baby, and then the full-sized version kicks the Velociraptor's ass. That'd be sweet.
That would be, okay.
I would cheer in the theater if they did that.
Producers of Dominion, this is your overlord.
Dominion as in the tabletop card game? Deck
yes.
builder game?
Pay attention. Listen, we are giving you this idea. You will owe us several million, but we're giving it to you.
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but yeah. So the Dilophosaurus, I think it's like, I think I read one, that someone said it was like the best worst known dinosaur.
Right.
It was like a lot of people know it thanks to Jurassic Park, but they don't know it correctly.
Yeah, definitely most misinterpreted dinosaur for sure.
Yeah. But we're at the end part where we rate it 1 out of 65 million, though, for whatever reason we like. And I'm going to give it, like, a 55 or 60 million. It was cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll give it 60 million as well.
Yeah.
It's badass.
Yeah, like that roar, man. Man,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, that roar is awesome. The overall description is awesome. Just everything that it does in general, being that big and...
Yeah.
And you know, it's been misinterpreted for so long, it deserves some love.
Yeah, exactly. I should show you the scene in When Dinosaurs Roamed America. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
John Goodman narrates it.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
He's like, it's a triple threat. It can slash, bite, and run.
Nice.
And it just utterly obliterates an Ankylosaurus. So,
nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to see that.
Yeah, I'll show it to you afterwards. All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@matthewdonaldcreator.com. You can follow me on social media. I always forget that part. I've forgotten that for the last couple of episodes. You can follow me on social media at Matthew Don Creator on Facebook, at Matthew Don 64 on Twitter, and Matthew Don 64 on Instagram.
Yeah, and add them back in, right?
Oh, that's too much work.
Oh, the work.
This thing keeps falling off my nose.
I know.
How does yours stay on so good? Is it your glasses?
Yeah, because I have it, like, pinned up under my glasses.
See, I'm wearing contacts today, so...
Yeah, that's exactly what keeps it up. I have it pinned up under my glasses.
Okay, when? That's the one advantage that glasses have.
Right. Except when, like, I have a couple masks that just don't quite reach that high. They stay on okay, but then it fogs up my glasses, too.
Right.
So it's a double purpose. It holds it up, and it keeps my glasses from fogging up.
Of course, of course. All right, so also I have a riding podcast, Megazoic. What?
I want to listen to that podcast.
I have a book series called Megazoic available for print and Kindle on Amazon. Dinosaur sci-fi. There is a prominent character that is a Dilophosaurus in it.
Nice.
Yes. In the second and third book, his presence is felt in the fourth book.
Nice.
I won't say how or why.
No spoilers here, folks.
Yeah, it's a properly sized version too. It has no frill. In fact, there's a joke I write, because this is like, these are like a sci-fi civilization dinosaur, so they're kind of advanced. They got a civilization.
Yeah.
So this dinosaur, he's kind of like an Errol Flynn type, and he talks about how when he's meeting these bad guys at this party, he's like, I'll have to figure out what to wear. I could wear this party coat I inherited, but it has all these frills on the neck and sleeve, and I'm not really a frills type of dinosaur.
That's amazing. I love it.
Thanks. So I also have a writing podcast called The Ritwits. Two twits talk about writing.
I thought that was the name of your book.
My book is named The Ritwits. My podcast is called Megazoic.
Right, yeah.
Got
okay,
it?
Yeah,
okay.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, of course.
Got it straight.
Okay. All right, that's it for this week. And as I say at the end of every episode of Paleobites, hold on. My phone logged out. I have to log and press the key code to your...
Right, blah, blah, blah. Darn face mask. Keep the face app for the... Right away!
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.